You are listening to the We Hired a Sitter for This podcast.
We hired a sitter for this.
We have a roster of like 7 sitters.
I'm spending $3,000 on paints.
Do you go to therapy?
Never have, no.
There was a small fire. I put it out.
Real talk, the stakes are too high with my baby.
Comedy, parenting, marriage, life.
We do it all.
I'm a dad and I'm busy.
I have an opinion. I don't know if it'll be right, but
I'm Patrick.
My name is Gaston.
We hired a sitter.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to We Hired a Sitter for This, the podcasting about, I don't know. What is this podcast about, Gastor?
I think it's keeping you and I closer together as friends.
It is. You know? And I need you right now.
Amen. Yo, I'm need you back, bro.
I legitimately think I am in need of a pep talk.
What happened?
I mean, I look like hell.
Yeah, you've been through it. Yo.
My hair's all over the place. I'm sweaty. It's been a challenging week. So 1 week ago you were like, hey, something came up, I can't make it. And I was like, that's perfect, because that day it turned out my kid was sick. So she stayed home. She stayed home for Tuesday and Wednesday of last week. Here we are on Tuesday again. It came close. Like, it was looking like it was going to happen again, but she's at daycare at 51% health level.
Okay. Okay. Just enough, but it still counts.
Yeah. But it was like close. I was like, I'm going to have to cancel on Gastor, cause I might have this kid home again. I've been, so this is going to be TMI.
Okay. Okay. I like this.
Friday morning, my balls started hurting.
Okay.
I'm like, something's wrong with my balls. It got worse over the weekend. Went to the doctor yesterday. They think it's a UTI.
Wow.
I'm a man with a UTI.
Yo.
The ball pain's going away. I got some antibiotics last night. Between all that, the sick kid really throws off your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And
for sure.
it changes your whole schedule. I had to cancel work. I had to like adjust things last night. So she's at 51%. What that looks like is she's got this hacking cough. She's had this cough for like 6 weeks now. It's like a whooping cough from the 1700s or something that won't go away. And we introduced her to cough syrup last week. Cause like, you can't really give them cough syrup till they're like 4. She's almost 4. We're like, she's as tall as an 8-year-old. So I'm like, we're giving her cough syrup.
I'm with you.
She takes it for the first time last week after negotiations. Like, it took negotiations to explain, this stuff will help how you're feeling.
Right.
And I made the mistake, because we were giving her like this organic cough syrup, which is just like honey and like spices or some shit.
Okay.
From like, do you know that brand Zarbee's? I think it's Zarbee's or Zanzibar or something with a Z. Giving her that for a year now or whatever. And she likes that. But we're like, we got to hit her with the Tussin. You know, we need the chemicals, we need the pharmaceuticals.
The pure, yeah.
Exactly. So I go to introduce it to her last week, and I made the mistake, because now she's smart. She knows words, she listens, she's picking shit up all the time. And I made the mistake of saying, this one's might be a little spicy compared to the last one.
Okay.
So meaning like it might have a little burn to it, it might have a little kick, because that's how you know it's working, right?
Yeah.
But she picked up on that word spicy, and she's like, no, I don't want it. It's spicy. I'm not going to drink it, but it's grape. And I'm like, but it will help you. So she won't take it for like a day. Eventually she gives in, she takes it. It works. She enjoys it because it helps her.
Okay.
And maybe she was robo tripping. I don't know.
I like it. Comeback story.
Maybe it's in the DNA. We got a little addict on our hands. I don't know. But then last night she wakes up. I mean, I fall asleep, by the way, at 8:30 p.m. last night,
because nice.
I'm tuckered out. I'm tuckered out. I'm busy.
You've earned it.
Yeah. I crash. I wake up at 1 a.m. to the cough. It's right in my ear, because she's sleeping in the bed lately. Coughing right in my ear, right in my mouth, right in my eye holes. And I'm like, I guess I'm awake now, because she's coughing. And I say, we start negotiating, the three of us. It turns into a boardroom negotiation over whether or not she'll take the cough syrup. We're like, it will help you stop coughing, which will help us all sleep. So you got to take, no, it's too spicy. I'm not going to take it. I don't want it. So she didn't take the cough medicine last night. And it's nice to see you here at 10:53 a.m. I've been awake since 1:25 a.m.
Rock
so
on.
Thank you for being here. I did go to a meeting this morning. I went to the mental health for alcoholics meeting at 9 a.m. So I'm feeling okay emotionally.
Okay.
But I was not before that. This morning, I'm not proud to admit this. I put my hand on my kid. I didn't hit her. I didn't hit her. This is what I did. She goes in. She's so functional. And this might be your fault because we gave her drawer access. We gave her bottom drawer access. So now, I'm glad this is entertaining for you. Now she goes in the kitchen, opens the refrigerator door whenever she wants. And she's like, I want, she opens the fridge. She's like, I want candy. I'm like, there's no fucking candy in there, first of all. I didn't say the F word to her. But she's like, I want candy. I want breakfast. And like, I'm, for the last year, we're just like, just say please. Whenever you demand something, just say please. She still doesn't say please ever. Anyway, she's in the fridge. She's look, and I've turned into my dad. I'm now the dad saying, close the door. You're letting out all the cold air. You know, right. Like that's become like this thing I say, and it horrifies me every time I do. But I'm like, hey, just tell me what you want. I'll make you a waffle. I'll make you yogurt and granola or cereal, whatever you want. I'll make it. And she's in there browsing like she's her mother at Macy's or something, just browsing, and starts coughing into the fridge. Like that cough, like you can hear the chunks that you can see the stuff flying.
Oh, yeah.
And she's at waist height. I'm standing right next to her. So I take my hand like this and I just push her forehead back. And I'm like, don't cough into the fridge.
She's establishing ownership. This is her stuff. She was marketing.
No. Yeah. She's marking her territory with germs and bacteria. Oh, my God. Like, yeah. So anyway, I put my hand on her. I pushed her back. I said, don't cough into the fridge. And I didn't even shove. It wasn't a shove. It was a gentle nudge, you know, okay. But it was reflexive. I shouldn't, if someone did that to me, I would be pissed too. Anyway, she ran off crying. And then she did claim that I hit her to Ross. He's like, he hit me. Luckily Ross knows I didn't hit her, but, yeah, man. So that's the state of that's my status. So, mix all this together. You know what this leads to? 2 days off schedule where, like, my life becomes all about this sick kid. It makes me truly feel like, oh, my career is done. I can't have a career if I'm navigating this all the time. Like, this is impossible. So I go down this, like, I go into this tailspin of, like, it's all over, dude. Like, you can't do this career.
Yeah.
So...
I mean,
that's where I'm at.
So a few things. One, it's always podcasting, you know, we could do this, forever. It's not as fun, but it is fun, but it is not what you want.
Right.
But it's an option. Just put it out right there. You could be entertaining to the world and still be 4 to 5 feet away from a kid. We're literally taking care of a puppy right now.
Yeah. We got Peggy Pickles in the house.
Peggy Pickles is here. You know what I mean? We're double duty right now. So we're doing it. Two, yeah. I, as your friend, I genuinely root for your mental health. I'm proud that you went to a meeting this morning.
Oh, I appreciate
that.
You felt that.
Like you needed one. Sincerely, that's beautiful, man. Like, I'm glad you're able to recognize that you needed that and that you went and handled that.
Yeah, for clarity's sake, if you're listening, I go every day, but today I needed it in a special kind of way.
It's dope. Okay.
So, yeah.
As your friend, I'm happy to hear that. As your peer and coworker, I'm going to have to insist that you never sleep before a podcast episode again. This is incredible. I love this energy so much.
Unhinged.
You, I want all the worst for you before you every episode.
Unrested and unhinged. Real got talk. It. Okay.
Be healthy the other 6.5 days.
Yeah.
Give me the one day that you like, yo, my life is in ruins, and then coming in pod.
Okay. Real we could talk. Do that.
It,
we
it,
could do
it
that.
It does a lot for the show. You know?
Yeah. Stability and rest and contentment don't really lend themselves to creativity or a good conversation or a good hang.
I mean, it's just, the problem is that, like, I'm happy. Life is great. We can't both just be happy. Yeah, like, yeah. How you doing? Exactly. You know what I mean? One of us got to be falling apart.
We can't have 4 testicles with UTIs in here or urethras, whatever's going on.
Now, when you say balls hurt, is it like the sack?
Yeah, like achy balls. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like
it's a common the doctor says it's probably epididymitis, I believe, and it's commonly from a UTI or could be a bacterial thing. The tests are coming back later. Maybe we'll get test results during this podcast.
That'd
so stay
awesome,
stay tuned, everybody.
Yo.
So yeah, that's not pleasant. And I was also traveling. I went to Nashville for 2 days to celebrate my buddy's 40th birthday. So getting on a plane when your balls hurt,
Ooh.
That's not fun. I'm on Spirit Airlines where the legroom goes away rapidly. Maybe I got the infection on Spirit Airlines. Everybody has a Spirit joke.
That
maybe
is the Kia of the sky.
Yeah.
Real talk, yo.
Wow. Coming for me. By the way, I got to figure this out too. The windshield crack, it's expanding.
Like I told you,
It's not loose, but who knows how Saturday's going to go.
The thing is, I have a car, but like, I want to see how this goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like at this point, I want every road show to be your car.
Yeah.
Until it's no longer possible.
I like the idea of you showing up in like full catcher's gear to get in my car. Cause you know, those airbags don't work.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at.
I'm glad you're here. I appreciate you went to a meeting. I'm glad your balls are hurting less.
I appreciate that your pep talk wasn't like, you'll find a way to make it all work. You're like, there's always podcasting.
I'm realistic, homie.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking when she's in like college, I'll be able to get back to the stage every night.
Okay.
But yeah.
That's soon.
You know, that's just 18 years of... No, 14 years.
14, man. Yeah. You're getting there. You know what I mean? And you could start like easing into it in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's hope.
I mean, I guess it's either that or just fully leave the family.
Yeah. I mean, but that's whack.
Yeah, yeah.
You ain't going to do that. You know what I mean? But then, like, you know, it's not like you're trying to be a baseball player. Like,
right.
You could do comedy in your 60s.
Mm-hmm.
What if that's when you peak? What if that's when you like hit the stride and you really find your voice?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Anyway, what is happening with you? I do miss you. It's been a while. You showed up here with a bag of cameras.
Yeah, yeah, man.
You're just on your filmmaking journey.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn, man. Like, you know, I'm surrounded by people like yourself who are like multi-talented. I only kind of do jokes well, and I'm trying to like learn more. You know? So, just like forcing myself to like walk around with a camera every day. And just use it, you know, just to get in the habit of.
Are you doing
better.
It on foot? Did you walk all the way here?
No. I was planning on doing that going forward after the trip.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start walking here. That'll cover like all of my steps.
I mean, that's
that one day.
That's a crazy walk.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it'll get me to like 10,000 steps. I think.
Oh my
god.
If I
do there and back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I figured.
I almost don't want you to do that walk to start. Like maybe do half the walk. Maybe do a bicycle.
I figure if I get here, I know I could get here, and if I'm rough, I'll just ride with you back to your place.
Yeah, well, I walk here.
Okay.
So unless you want a piggyback ride.
Yeah, okay.
I'll try. I'm getting better at piggybacks.
I mean, you brought the dog, you know? So,
yeah.
Like, you know, just bring more snacks.
Yeah, so we got Peggy in the studio. Peggy Pickles, she walked over here, and she has sensory overload because she's scared of trucks. Like, she can sense the trucks coming, like the diesel engine. She can sense from, like, probably 6 blocks away, so she'll shudder into a little corner. She'll like go up against a building to like stay away from the truck. So she's got PTSD at the moment, but that's why she's so relaxed. She's curled up in her little shrimp shape over there.
That's a soft ass dog, yo. What?
That's not a New York City dog,
yo.
Yeah,
what's the point of having this dog? If, like, when there's danger, like, that's going
to
be, yo.
I'll tell you the point. Look at her right now. Look at the shape she's in.
Uh-huh.
She's to your left. See that little shape?
Mm-hmm.
At about 7 p.m. sharp, she becomes that shape for the rest of the night. She'll do that on your lap. She'll do it in between whoever's on the couch. We call it the English channel. She'll go in between your legs and just do that, a long dog version of that. That's what it's all for. You got this little tiny living teddy bear.
But, like, there's people in my house. Like, I don't need to hug a dog.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
love people.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are we hugging other things?
No, we want love from all angles. And we just got the one kid, so Peggy's essentially another daughter. So, yeah, we the best is when you're flanked, when you got Franny on one side, Peggy on the other side, the wife's in the kitchen cooking dinner. That's the best.
Yeah, nah, I'm not about that at all. I want none of this.
Wait, so what do you want out of a dog? You want a tough dog that's
to be clear,
defending
I don't want a dog
family?
At all.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if we get a dog, the dog got to earn its keep, B, okay?
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I'm paying for you to exist, I ain't make you and you in my house? Nah, B, you got to do work.
You want like you want a return on investment.
Exactly.
You want cats brought to the back door.
Amen.
Murdered. You want rats taken care of.
Amen. Yeah. Take out the trash. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Do like, something.
Do something, B. Like, you can't just be in my house.
We don't just want a pleasant experience.
Nah, B, I got plants. I don't need you
right,
for that.
Right.
They give me better air. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You make the house smell funny. You know what I mean?
Let's go back for a second. What do you think about the physical intervention I used on Franny when I touched her head and I pushed her away?
Because
I do similar things. Like, if she's on her scooter and we're going down the street, when we come to a corner, she knows to stop, but there are times where I'll hold her hoodie or her shirt just to make sure she doesn't leap into traffic or roll out too fast. But do you think hand stuff should be avoided in general?
I think hand stuff should be used more.
Yeah.
I think there is, like, if you cross the street after I've explained to you the dangers of it and you don't look, you get an arm to the chest.
What is that? Oh, like a protective one. Yeah.
Like a hard arm. Like, yeah. I it'll hurt a little
bit.
Yeah,
you're getting a little elbow in there.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm so about that. Because, okay. Like, when I explain it, I tell you the dangers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I show you videos. I'm real. Like, yo, listen, that person got rocked. You saw that on YouTube?
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
That'll
see how
happen
the windshield
to you.
Just caved in? That's a Kia Sorento.
I'm like, yo, and that person, roughly double your size and weight.
Yeah.
Real
yeah,
talk.
Yeah.
You will get demolished.
Yeah.
And then if they forget that, an arm from a 300-pound dad still hurts, but it's not a car.
Yeah. Hey, you got to go Bill Lambier to raise good kids.
Because, like, the thing is, some kids learn by just explaining, but some kids got to touch the stove.
Yeah.
But I can't let you touch the stove with the car situation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got to hit you a little bit. You'll be like, yo, that hurt, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how much it takes for me to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
The car beats me.
And you know I mean? So then you're saying you go back to a probationary period of arm to the chest at every
straight
corner.
Up.
And that becomes its own punishment. It's like you can hide the spanks in the chest elbow.
Boom, right there. You feel it. Real talk. Like I'm not against, because I'm not spanking you, to be clear. Like, I'm not giving you open hands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about that, really.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's certain things that, like, physical touch helps. And
it's not
always negative either. Like,
yeah.
I think positive too. Like, when someone does something dope, I think doing this is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Obviously, read your kid. Not every kid is about that.
Right.
But, like, I think there's something about just jolting people out of, like, yo, you did something here, great or not great.
Yeah.
That, like, something about just that, like, being zapped out of the days of life.
Yeah.
It registers different.
Yeah.
In particular, if you don't normally do that. I'm not hitting you all the time.
Right.
I don't hit my kids in general, right? So, like, if I do that to you, like, that, yo, dad did that. And, when dad uses his force, it's noticeable because you only play with kids.
It's funny you said the word force, because Ross's dad used the force.
Oh.
That was like a word they used. And apparently it was, he would just kind of like grip your arm and give it a solid squeeze. So I guess the force, and I think he would say, I'm going to use the force on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. We were spanked, not in a formal way. It wasn't like, you did a bad thing tonight, you get 10 spankings. It was always in the moment. Like, if we were annoying our mom, she'd grab you by the arm with one hand and then kind of just get you under the butt with the other hand.
Yeah.
And I only remember that like two or three times, and it's because we were probably driving her absolutely insane in public. So
usually I don't do this with my daughter, because admittedly, like, it would break her. But like with my son, if he does something really dumb and I have like a real serious talk with him that day, there's like tension in the home, and I don't want him to be like, you know, scared of me,
right?
So like at the end of the day, I always make it a point to like review what happened.
Yeah,
like, yo, we good.
A performance review.
Yeah, like, yo, listen, you fucked up back there, you messed up, you dropped the ball, but we good. Like, I want you to know that. But to remind him that you messed up but I love you, I combine the hug with a harder than normal pat on the back.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that pat on the back is real.
Yeah.
Like, my wife has seen it. She's like, please don't do that to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've done it to my daughter like once or twice, because like I was like, yo, like, you deserve it. But
yeah,
most of the time I reserve it for my son. Like, does it because he's getting big. He's getting froggy.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like a good reminder of like, yo, like when you mess up, you got to get shook a little bit.
Yeah, you smack him on the back and he's like, I love you too, Dad.
Yeah, you know?
Get the wind knocked out exactly, of him a little bit.
You know? And it's a reminder of like, hey, this is also showing you the restraint I'm showing.
Yes. Like know? This could be a closed fist to your stomach.
Real talk.
But it's a pat on the back with an open hand.
This is 10% of me.
Yeah.
Okay?
And it's actually the perfect definition of how love is a two-sided coin. One side is love and an open-handed pat on the back, and the other hand is a closed fist, and it could be to your gut or chest or face.
Listen, man, I told you, like, I don't need you to like me. I just need you to get me. I'm trying to get you somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm going to try my best to just talk to you and give you the message nice. But sometimes you don't want it nice.
Yeah.
You know?
I got to be better about the performance review that you're talking about.
That's vital. You can't just be like checking kids.
Yeah, because this morning I was so cranky that when she went to cry to mom that I hit her or whatever, I was like, well, screw you. I'm going to just eat my breakfast and I'm not going to apologize because that was annoying. You coughed on my food.
Nah,
so you can go be upset. And then she's the one, you know, she's 3 3/4 years old, but she came back up to me and said, I love you, Dada. And I don't think she said, I'm sorry, but she's the one that closed the loop on it. And when she did that, I felt so guilty. I was
you
like,
should.
Man, I should have went to her and said, hey, the reason I did that was because whatever. So
that's terrible. You got to undo that.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah. I'll do the performance review tonight. And she'll be like, I've had a whole day and a whole life.
She'll
I don't even remember
that. Yeah.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the whole reason why it's day of. Like,
yeah.
I want them to know that, like, A, I care. B, I'm trying to teach them healthy communication habits.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Someone like, when you and someone disagree, that person can't just like neg you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least not someone that fucks with you, not someone that loves you.
Yeah. No, that's my thing. I'm an avoider. I'm like, I'll just avoid, I'll quietly seethe over this thing and I'll forget about it until it boils over and I get pissed about it later in life, like 25 years later.
And do you want a guy like that with your daughter?
No. Exactly.
So, you know what I mean? You gotta check that. Yeah, B. They got to get in there, B.
Holding me accountable. I appreciate
it. Hell yeah. That's what we're here for,
B. We could turn the mics off and just have a therapy session in here. Maybe that's what I need. Let's talk about other people's problems. Thank you for sending these things. Actually, in the same department as, like, do you touch your kids with hands, etc. This article is from Scary Mommy, and it's like, what language should you avoid using around your kid? Like, what kind of words should you avoid using around your kids? And it's like fairly new, I feel like, in our generation, or maybe the generation before us, that you like, don't call your kid an idiot.
Right.
Or like, you're acting stupid. Don't be stupid. Like, you know, those things are very obvious, right?
Yeah.
Like, those are words. Like, was there anything that you can recall that you were like, oh, I got to stop saying that? Or,
I still say all those things, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't say it that they are. I do say their action.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I think that's different.
Yeah.
My dad would have just said, you're dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I've made that change. But I ain't gonna lie.
That was dumb. Yeah.
Yeah, I make it a point to say that was dumb.
Yeah.
I usually say, so, A, they're both really good kids, so it doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
But when they do something wrong, what I've started saying is, that's beneath you.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yo, like, you don't, you, that's not something you, that's not the standard you've set for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not who I've seen as a person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like that.
I'm really about the action in comparison to your whole.
I can remember talks delivered to me in those kinds of terms where an adult took the time to, like, say something in a meaningful way. Like, I can remember in fifth grade, Mr. Witham,
Yeah, that's a fire name, by the way.
Mr. Witham.
Mr. Witham.
Yeah. I never thought of it that way.
That's hard, yo.
He had a killer three-point shot, too.
Okay.
This guy was a B-baller.
Hit him with the three for Mr. Witham, yo. Let's go.
Mr. Witham saw me in fifth grade. I came into my own as a roast comic.
Ooh.
And I would get my friends to like me more by being cruel to other students. And I'd say mean stuff to other people. And there was two or three people that I really focused this kind of shitty energy on. It was horrible.
He
called me in one day. He was like, hey, you got to tell me about this thing you said about so-and-so or what happened there. And it was like this whole thing. And he was like, he took a long pause and he goes, man, that's just so cruel. That is really cruel of you to treat somebody like that. Because you're a nice kid. And to make her feel that way is just the cruelest thing you could do. And think of how that makes her feel. Like, you know, and he like painted this whole picture and he just like broke me down. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm like a bad person.
Yo, you know? That's how you learn though,
and,
man.
And the theme of the conversation is that behavior is beneath you. And I think it worked because I kind of like changed, like that's when I sort of turned to like, okay, how do I use these powers for good, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of did that in a warped way where it was like, all right, I'll just be friends with everybody. And I probably overdid that, but whatever, that's another topic.
Where's that girl today?
I actually don't know. I've tried to find her. She's one of those rare people that aren't on social media or anything. Oh. By the time we were in high school, it was like all good, and you know, there were plenty of other people that I probably treated very poorly, you know. Oh. That I don't know. Hopefully I'm not on a list somewhere.
I like when teachers do that though. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. He was great.
Yeah, Mr. Nunez checked me once.
Yeah.
Because I was throwing like paper balls in the class.
Yeah.
And it was like the week after I got I won the election. So he was like, how like a class president
is
supposed to behave.
That's not presidential behavior.
Yeah, and I'm like, damn, B, that's heavy. And like by the same token, I didn't do anything in the role. So it was just like,
and that argument doesn't actually hold water if you think of how our elected officials behave.
I bought the presidency though. I told all the dudes, like, yo, if y'all vote for me, I'll give you a free comic book.
Oh, nice.
Straight up. I gave out.
Did you deliver?
I did. Hell okay. Yeah. Actually, yeah. I'm actually positive somebody lied. I gave an extra comic book away, but I was a man of my word.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Somebody said they voted for me, and I know they didn't because the math didn't add up, but I don't know which one of them was lying.
Yeah.
So, like, I won the election, but not by as much as comics I gave out. But, you know, it's the cost of doing business in politics.
Yeah,
you know?
Politics is a dirty business. Yeah, and, you're going to sometimes run into people who are a little bit shadier than you are.
It happens. I gave them some trash comic books, though, so it was cool.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, so they did this whole study about words. The study revealed the top negative words used by parents. The list ranked as follows. Naughty is number one. Okay. Spoiled is number two. Lazy, selfish, bad, liar, and stupid. So it says many parents acknowledge using negative words with their children. One in four parents admit making their child feel selfish or bad, and nearly one in five have caused their child to think of themselves as a liar. So yeah, like even if a kid does lie, yeah, you have to get specific about the thing.
Right.
Like you're saying, like, you told a lie. We don't tell lies. Not you are a liar.
Why? Who's saying naughty?
Yeah,
that's weird as hell, yo. Yeah. Real talk, baby.
Yeah, yeah. You're being naughty.
Yeah, like that's all sex to me at this point. Like, why are you totally talking like that to your kid?
Yeah, naughty's a bad word for different reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you say that, you should be on a list. Like, that, not this list, another list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is a terrible word to use around your kids.
All right, so here's a expert quote from Sylvia Johnson. She sounds like a child expert.
Okay, shout out to Sylvia.
The words we use on a daily basis influence the way we perceive ourselves, others, and the world around us. When directed toward others, negative language can harm relationships, lower self-esteem, and lead to a dispirited perspective toward life. To be conscious about the language we use, especially when dealing with sensitive beings like children. She goes on to say, gently given correctives or words of encouragement can stoke a child's self-confidence, promote healthy self-esteem, spark curiosity, and foster resilience. By contrast, harsh words, criticisms, or constantly highlighting their mistakes can induce fear or failure, cultivate self-doubt, or stagnate their creativity and eagerness to learn. I mean, this all seems pretty self-explanatory, but I guess it is easy to, like, sometimes say the wrong thing in the heat of the moment, maybe.
Yeah. You know, what I don't think parents do enough is demonstrate positive talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to, the reason that, like, the people that I see struggle with this is I got friends that are parents that, like, I see parenting in front of me that I'm like, whoa, I definitely wouldn't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And usually they're people like, well, like, for example, like people that I know that struggle with the convo stuff that, like, I think they say too many negative things to their kids. They don't say positive things about themselves.
Or their partner.
Or their partner. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. It's just they constant negative. So, like, yeah. It ain't even kid-centric. It's just that's how they view life.
Exactly.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, my kids see me talk, like, the cockiest shit about me all the time. You know, yeah, like, yeah. They see me on the 100, and, like, I think they see me shower their mother with love regularly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I make it a point to, like, high-five them. My daughter texts me test grades and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I celebrate all the little stuff, both for them, but also for me, so that they see that, like, I'm not just talking it, I'm being it.
Right,
I mean?
Right, yeah.
So, like, you know, when I got, like, when I do a good set, I come home, I'm playing, like, Jadakiss, like, top five yeah, or something, yeah. You know? Like, I'm hype, you know yeah. what I mean? I'll yell, like, I'm him all over the house, you know? Like, I'm him, it's me, I'm him, you heard about me, you
That's
know?
A Jada lyric?
Like, that's just the general, like, bragging thing that's going around. Like,
okay, like, I'm that guy?
I'm that guy, I'm him, yeah. You know what I mean? He is him, I am him.
That's very Rastafarian.
Yeah.
You, I and I, you and me.
I am the
you
one.
Are you?
I am him. They talk about me. Who? Him? Me.
Oh, I see. You know what I mean? I gotcha.
I'm the one.
That might know? Be anti-Rastafarian then.
Yeah, maybe.
That's very American grind culture.
It's pro-gas store.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Okay.
You know? And, like, I don't do it all the time, but I do it when I'm, in, like, a feeling good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And, like, I want them to... And it doesn't need to be your version of... Like, your version of it could look different. You know? I put Annie up. When yeah. I'm excited.
Hell yeah.
But, like, I want them to see that I have positive self-talk
yes.
as well, you know, yeah. so that, like, I'm constantly avoiding. You never hear me talk bad about myself around my kids.
Yeah.
I don't talk bad about their mom ever. I don't want them to have that energy. So that when I do have to correct them, it should feel different.
Right.
I want them to know, like, yo, this is not the course of this house. You know what I mean? This ain't the direction anybody is going in. So we going to correct this right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We going to have a real talk about this action, but this ain't you, this ain't me. I want to go back to playing hot music
yeah.
and celebrating how dope you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
like day-to-day negative talk? Like, I was in a car recently with some parents and their kid, and the parents do a lot of shouting at other cars
mm-hmm.
or like, what the hell is this guy doing? Or what's your problem? Or just like a lot of like criticism of other human beings. And I'm so curious about, like, at one point, pretty much the kid didn't mimic it at all. But at one point the kid did mimic something like that. I can't remember. I can't give the specifics. But I just remember thinking, like, that energy is contagious. You
yeah.
know what I mean? And yeah, like I don't know. I think it's good to be. I'm all about calm and chill and, like, let's not up the stress of a situation.
Right, right.
Almost to the point of passivity, which of course that's not the answer either.
Right.
You gotta stick up for yourself. You can't be a doormat for other people. So yeah, I don't know. What do you think about that? Like the driving specific thing. How do you do? With the kids in the car with driving?
Driving, I'm pretty chill in general, just because, like, I used to have, like, rah-rah energy when I was driving, yeah. and the stakes are too high. I got people yeah. that matter in the car now.
Yeah.
Everything, like, if you cut me off, everything in my heart wants to go get you.
Right, right, right.
Like, and being real, I don't know if I'm not going to go back to that when the kids leave the house.
Yeah,
like,
I
might need to do it every now and then.
Yeah.
But when my kids are in the car, I'm very chill because, like, the stakes are high. Like, there's people that didn't matter. And, like, I don't know. Like, I want to say that, like, I try to do good with that stuff. I think I do well with that. But I know I'm not perfect with that. I definitely, like, think there's value in projecting good energy to everybody, and I think I do that well.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I'm not one for bullshit either.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, when someone crosses a line,
yeah,
I feel like I'm real direct about, like, calling it out.
Yeah.
I don't escalate energy. I escalate tension.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So like, I ain't gonna yell, but I give people an opportunity to reconsider.
Sure.
You know? Yeah, so yeah. Like, you say something out of pocket to me. Like I say stuff like that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, when someone says something disrespectful to me, I usually stand up. I get really close to the person and I tell them, hey, like, I feel like you made a mistake, you know? So
I'm picturing Jack Reacher right now. I don't know if you know Jack Reacher.
Hell yeah.
Especially that line. I'm standing up right now because I'd like to give you the opportunity to reconsider what you just said. I love that.
That's like, great. I feel like you made a mistake. I don't think you meant that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you rephrase that.
Does that ever happen to you around comedy stuff?
Like, it happened early on, but not often.
Where's this happening now? Like, or personal
very rarely,
friends?
Very usually,
or?
Like, if I'm at, like, a party, it could happen because alcohol is involved. People get out of pocket. And on top of that, I rarely drink.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sober while someone's getting out of pocket. And because of that, I'm also more prone to, like, lean towards telling people, yo, I'm going to let you reconsider that. You know what I mean? It's happened in comedy, but very rarely. Like, I think comedy self-filters out assholes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the first 3 years, you're, like, at open mics and people that aren't really lifers. It happened there. It happened really early on at a show in Jersey where, like, I had to go to the promoter's crib to get my money, and I got my money.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, like, yeah, like, I did a show in Jersey. Like,
that promoter shouldn't let people know where they live if they're not going to pay people.
He did it. I found it.
That's incredible.
Up, I did a show. It was at, like, some freaking bar show. And, like, it was, like, you know, it wasn't anything crazy. It was, like, $50. But, like, I paid the toll.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I came over here.
No, that's money you're owed.
Yeah. So, the show, I was, like, the show, it wraps up. They didn't make a ton of money, I'm sure. I was there. I saw, like, 30 people came out.
Yeah.
So he freaking bounces,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm like, yo, what's the pay up, you know? And, like, I asked the other comics, they're like, yo, we ain't get paid, but, like, you know, we're going to find them later. I was like, yeah, I don't live out here. I ain't finding later nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I need my money now. Like, I paid to come over here. So, like, I ask around everybody. I find out where homie stay at. I drove over to his crib, and we had a come to Jesus convo.
I like it.
And everything got resolved, you know? I don't do shows with that dude no more. I don't think he does comedy no more.
Yeah.
But point is that, mind you, he very clearly knew I'm about it.
Right.
Without me having to yell.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like you could demonstrate that often. Like,
and then you're showing, by doing that, even though none of this was in front of your kids, you're living a certain life that shows your kids an example of, like, what it means to advocate for yourself, stick up for yourself, and get that money.
I tell you exactly. I did it for my kid once. So my son had a situation at his school where, like, I'm trying to remember the specifics. It was like, there was a certain amount of, like, after school activities that were promised and, like, tutoring. He went to a new middle school. So, like, there were ideas they had that they're implementing, but they weren't implemented yet.
Right.
So my son, one day after school, one day complained to me, said, hey, like, I asked him, how'd your day go? And he was like, it was all right. I was like, why? He's like, honestly, like, a lot of kids were distracting me. I didn't find class to be that entertaining. I did my stuff, but, like, it was really, like, it wasn't a productive day, in my opinion.
Right.
And the club thing that I was going to do after that I was looking forward to got canceled because kids were misbehaving. So it just wasn't a good school day.
Yeah.
So I went, literally, like, he's telling me this in the car when I'm picking him up. So I said, let's get out. And we got out the car. I walked right up to the principal. And the principal is like a dude, like, a little older than me. So he rocks with me. So he's like, yo, what's up, man? How the Nets doing? I was like, nah, we got to talk.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, yo, this is the situation. My son got some complaints about what's happening. And then he tells me big picture. So he's like, hey, you know, we're implementing this. We're hoping to start this program. And, you know, we're doing this, this, and this to get funding. And I was like, yo, my man, as the East New York native, that sounds beautiful. I love to hear that for the hood. But my son is here now.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is trash. I need you to fix this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to check in on my son every day, and he's going to give me an update, and then I'm going to check in with you again in a week. And
you're like Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
You're like the Liam Neeson of the schoolyard.
Yo, so like, when we get back, so like we talking, I was like, I'm going to check in on you in a week, and I want to know what's going on.
Also, while you're having this conversation, you're just like, you've got one of those mini baseball bats from Yankee Stadium. You're just like, just beating it into your hand as you calmly say, I'll be checking in.
Yo, and then like, to end it, like, I do the same shit I do with the kids. I was like, you good with me checking in with you next Friday, right? Cool. I just wanted an update to see what's going to be happening going forward.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I made him shake my hand, and then I walked back to the car, and like Aiden was surprised because he's like, yo, I've only seen you talk to me like that. Like, nah, I talked to everybody like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and to be clear, I told him, I was like, yo, review, did I curse? No. Did I yell? No. Did I say anything disrespectful about him? No. But he wasn't doing his job. He didn't meet his commitment. As the person that he committed to, I have a right to call that out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And isn't it weird that we're at the age where, like, these people are our peers? Like, he's in charge of this school, but
yeah,
he's
crazy.
Somebody you know personally.
He's just a dude. Like, yeah. I've drank beer with him. We go to games. Like, yo.
Yeah. And to be able to separate that and to show up and have, like, an assertive conversation with somebody that you know on this other way, that's, like, that's true maturity and, like, adulthood of, like, yeah, like, just taking it head on.
Yeah, like, yo, like, again, it ain't beef with you personally, but professionally, there's something you're not doing that you promised, A.
Right.
And I can't have that when the repercussions are my kid's education.
Yeah.
So I need to know what your action plan is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm going to check in on you regularly, just like I would if you were an employee at my job, just like you tell me to do with my kid. When my kid drops grades, you tell me, make sure I'm checking on his homework.
Yeah.
You dropped your grade, principal.
Yeah.
So I'm checking in on your homework.
And then you can go back to the car with your kid and use all those bad words, all those negative words. You'd be like, yeah, he was being naughty. He was being bad. He's a liar. And I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's great, man. Congrats on doing that.
Amen.
And like your son probably looked at you like he probably didn't say so in the moment, but you were his hero for that day.
I mean, he got extra work, so maybe. Yeah. I mean, if that's what he wanted, he got it.
My mom did something similar when I was in seventh grade, or no, this is ninth grade. I had a Spanish teacher who left school for a couple months. I don't know if she was sick. She had like a sickness or something, but she was not there for like 2 months. So they had a long-term substitute teacher. This guy was so nice, really sweet guy, just wanted to help this class. But he fell into a pattern of like just wanting to be friends with us, and he let the alphas of the classroom dictate how the class went. So I'm not proud to say this, but one of the students, everybody called Midget Eddie.
Mm.
Eddie's a little person, Puerto Rican guy, so fluent in Spanish, and he had a little crew of other Spanish speakers. There's a whole Puerto Rican enclave in my where I went to school.
Oh, that's
so. And so Midget Eddie was in charge. He ran that class. It was like a prison yard, but he was the leader of the whole thing.
Is it an offensive term if it's like his term?
I don't know if he knew everybody called him Midget Eddie.
Oh, okay. I was like, is that like if he's in charge and everyone's calling him that?
Yeah, no.
That sounds like a badge.
I think he just went by Eddie. But he got this teacher to essentially just let us bullshit and hang out and not learn anything. And I love learning. And there was a point where I was like, all right, it's been like 5 days straight of this hang. And I know we have like Regents testing and it's going to be a problem when we don't know how to do this stuff. And so I told my mom, I was like, hey, we've just been hanging out in Spanish class. And she called the school and, essentially had probably the same conversation. I don't know if it was as tough, but she just was like, class isn't being taught.
Yeah.
Which was horrifying. The day I went back to class and the teacher was like, hey guys, somebody complained and we have to get back to work.
What a whack ass teacher.
He did the thing you can't do in a prison. You can't tell the group that somebody complained, because that's when you get shanked. So then it, then Eddie is leading a an inquisition to figure out who who sang. Snitched. Yo. They used to say sang. Isn't it funny? Snitched is now like kind of the that's a tough sounding word, but back in the 50s, it was like, who sang? Who sang like a bird? So yeah, and I don't think they did find out that it was me, but they could have assumed. They knew I was the pipsqueak in the class who wanted to learn.
What a trash teacher, yo.
Yeah, he was sad. He I you know, that's my shit though, is like, I knew it was the right way to go about it, but I was I still felt bad for this guy who's being bullied by 14 and 15 year olds.
Not her.
Yeah. So I don't know where he is. It'd be fun to get his side of that story, or the girl I was bullying in fifth grade, get her side of the story.
Yeah. And you know, I got to tell you, I'm going to stand up for your mom. It was probably just as tough as what I said.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Your parents, like when they want to, when a parent calls the school,
yeah,
like it's usually like, yo, like I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, yeah, it's, you know, not a pleasant.
Yeah,
yeah, you don't call a school on a winning streak.
Straight up,
like, know, like I just wanted to call and let you know how great a job you all are doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I promise you, that call wasn't chill.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and especially because like, if we're calling to complain about the school, like how strong of an argument did the kid have to make to like sell me on that?
Right.
Like,
I'm, right.
As a parent, I'm avoiding that call. I don't want to make a call to school.
Right.
Like that's
yeah.
It's never easy because it's always during hours where I'm working. Like it's never convenient to make the call. They're never like available because again, they're working at the same time too, doing what ideally teaching my kid.
Yeah.
So like it's never easy to set up the schedule. I'm blind in terms of information because the only thing I have is secondary.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying everything possible to like, hey, like, do I have all the info? Tell me more, kid. Try this if this is what you feel.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things I'm thinking before, like, I got to call the school.
Yeah.
So when I call the school as a parent, I'm already on the honey. Like,
yeah,
yo, you wildin', my G. Like, yo, like, I got so much evidence that, like, I have to call you.
Yeah, I've witnessed testimony. I've cross-referenced that with the data. I like that you showed up in person. I'm a fan of face-to-face conversations during conflict. I think that's like so many things could be avoided
because
now it's like you can send an angry email or leave a shitty review. It's like just like talk to the person, you know. Like I can remember in the first year my kid was alive, there was a guy just blasting music down on Knickerbocker Avenue right below our house, and it was like evening time. It was like wind down, dinner, bath, bedtime. We're putting her in the crib. We just finally started to find a groove with sleep, and all the neighbors, like there's a social media site for our building, so all the neighbors are, they'll complain to each other on there about stuff, or they'll put up an angry post about a thing. And I think some people were texting during this music thing because it was so, I mean, it was so loud. It was okay, like shaking our building. And I was like, I'm like, my first thought was, I'm going to throw a dozen eggs on the top of this real nice car this guy has because that's what he deserves. But then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go talk to this guy. I go down there. I open with a compliment. I was like, dude, this car is sick. I love your sound system. How many amps is this? I'm just like going in full salesman vibe. We start talking. Turns out his name's Peter. He's lived in the neighborhood forever. And I was like, hey, I don't mean to like mess up your vibe, but I got a kid. We're trying to get her to go to sleep upstairs. And he goes, you know where you moved, right? And I was like, yeah, like I love this neighborhood, and I of course I know where I moved. But like your system is so impressive that it's shaking the building and I'm trying to get this baby to sleep. And he's like, you know, I've been here my whole life and this is just how it is. This is Knickerbocker Avenue. And I was like, I understand, but like, I'm just really trying to get my baby to sleep. Could you turn it down like 60%? It'll still be loud. You can still enjoy your music, but it'll help me a lot and I would really appreciate it. And we traded names. By this point, we know each other's names. He knows what kind of car I drive and that I've thought about putting a system in, but I don't want
you
to.
You'll put a system in the Kia? Forget the rest of this. You're going to put a system in the Kia?
Why not?
Why?
I had to put that little head in there because the what is that called? Factory one fizzed out. It burned out. So I put a head in there. I could get an amp. I'll get an amp.
There's no airbag. You can fit an amp all over the place.
Yeah, I'm gonna fill the trunk with it. Actually, where the spare tire used to go, I'll put a sub back there. Long story short, he does turn down the music. We become pals, and he said, "What are you listening to?" And of course, you know, he was playing M.O.P. or whatever. Yeah. Like he's playing beats and rap and hip hop. And I was like, "Actually, I've been listening to a lot of Guns N' Roses." So he puts on "Sweet Child of Mine." He says, "I'll play you out," and I said, "Good night." And as I walked back to my building, I got the opening riffs to "Sweet Child of Mine" by Guns N' Roses playing in the background. And it was great because he did lower the music. He finished his pizza and then he drove off. And I got a couple texts from neighbors that were like, that was amazing, because they were like looking. They were watching this whole thing happen from above. And it really was such a good reminder that, like, you don't fucking call 311. Don't post an angry thing. Just like talk to the person about the issue and it'll probably go away, because then you're like interacting as humans.
Yeah.
You know?
That's real. What can I ask, what day of the week and what time of the day was this?
It was a weeknight. I think it was like kind of like right now we're experiencing like beautiful weather, like early spring, like people are out, you know?
So it was in the afternoon?
It was like 7 p.m.
Okay.
Like 6:30, 7 p.m., whatever bedtime was at that time.
Okay. I think you handled it well. I think he had a equally valid argument.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get that. And we have, like, we have double insulated windows. Like, they're nearly soundproof. Like, and we use an army of white noise machines. We have three white noise machines, and it's literally, like, she sleeps through fireworks.
Hell yeah.
We hear all the subs go by. Like, we feel bass, but this was different. Inordinate. Yeah, yeah. It was like it was a whole other thing.
That's real.
Because I'm not like, and he is right. I know exactly where I moved. Yeah. I love where I moved. But that was like, it just like, there's just no way somebody's gonna sleep through that.
That's real. Hey, I think that was the move. Cause like, essentially, like sometimes you just gotta be like, hey, listen, I'm not gonna lie to you. You're in the right. I'm asking for a favor.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the point I was making.
Yeah, like you're completely right. This is your neighborhood. You've been here longer.
Yeah,
and the time of day and like what is expected here culturally.
Yeah.
You are allowed to blast this at 7 o'clock. I get that. I'm just asking for a solid. I'm a dad. I got a baby.
Yeah.
If you could do me this, like, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and he like it definitely like helped that at that point I'd been in that building for 10 years and I was up the block for 3 years before that, and that helped a little bit. But I'm an interloper.
Yeah,
you
know?
And on if you go on the Bushwick Reddit page, anytime this kind of shit comes up, the comments immediately are, whatever, Ohio, go back to where you're from. This is Bushwick. You moved to Bushwick. And people pile on. It's hilarious. The funniest posts, if you ever are curious, you go on there and people say, hey, I'm thinking of moving to Halsey and Irving and Bushwick. Is it safe there? And it's just dozens of comments that are like, bullets flying every day. Don't come here. You're going to get stabbed the moment you move in. You better not. All that stuff really is very funny.
Amen. Yeah, keep those apartments available, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I dig it.
but yeah, I don't know. I like to think like Franny is learning. I mean, she is she's very assertive already. Like she does ask for what she wants. She goes to the fridge, takes, like, even at my brother's when we went to Denver, she would just like go take whatever she wanted from their kitchen. And
good.
Of course there's gotta be manners around all that and some etiquette, but I did kind of like that. Because when I was a kid, I was so shy, I would just starve unless somebody was like, no, eat this. You can have whatever you want. You know, like I was too shy to like raise my voice to say or do anything.
You could teach restraint. It's hard to teach like go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd rather a kid be like overly confident and like exploratory.
Yeah.
And then say, hey, this is where you should curb that back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the other way is tough. You a shy kid and teaching you to like yeah, you should go more.
Yeah.
That's something that you deal with forever.
Yeah. I have to tell her every day at the playground, like, you got to wait your turn. Like, because she'll walk up, if people are actively swinging on the swings, mm-hmm. she'll go up, can I have a turn now? She'll ask each, she'll go down the line and she'll say, can I have a turn? And I'm like, you know, there's no physical line, so it's hard for her to see that other people have been waiting. So I have to say, hey, like, let's wait our turn. You'll get a turn. Like, take it easy, or we can go do something else. But that means a lot to me that she's just brave enough to be like, I want a turn now.
Yeah, it's awesome. Because
especially like women, as we know, have certain disadvantages. So I'm like, yeah, get out there.
Amen.
Make some boys cry.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
Be ambitious. Go out there.
Yeah.
Push a kid. You know, why not?
Yeah.
Learn from it.
Should we take this home with one other of these things you
said? Yeah, let's do this.
So there's, oh man, this is heavy. The post of this says, I don't know if this is too heavy. What would you do if your partner died?
Jeez. Okay.
What if my spouse dies? What if I die? This is on Reddit. I'm ashamed to admit that I think about this often and I shouldn't.
Well, man, daydreaming, yo.
That's the definition. That's intrusive thoughts, right? That's what people are talking about when they say intrusive thoughts.
I think about her dying every day.
I think about it every day. It's just like, I just pass the time. I'm wondering about every little aspect if something were to happen to my husband. I mean, this sounds like OCD, like OCD and intrusive thoughts. The grief I would have, would I try to be strong for the kids? How bad would it affect them? What will I do financially? I would think I would be a total mess, but that is life and it will happen one day. Have you had those thoughts as well? Yes, she's not actually trying to answer this question. She wants to think about it more. She's like, I have these thoughts. I kind of like thinking about them. Let me post on here.
Tell me your thoughts. I want to think about those too.
Yeah.
You know? Give me more things to think about.
Yeah. Somebody just wrote, life insurance to pay off the house. I'll figure out the rest.
Amen. Real talk.
Oh, man.
I'm a overweight diabetic, so I don't think about her outliving me at all.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like, is this realistic? Men die younger or as is.
Yeah.
I don't really give much thought to me outliving Gabby. If I did, wouldn't get remarried. Gabby's the one. That's the homie. And I could focus on like sneakers and cigars. That'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, buy those without like hearing her voice saying, you're spending too much money on this stuff, you know?
and then
the kids, they be fine.
And then the more cigars you have, then you'd just be joining her.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to get to you, baby. You know, each cigar gives me closer.
Yes,
you know?
It's love. This is an investment in love.
Realistically, I know I could pay for everything. We own our home.
Yeah.
I'd probably have to pivot heavy in terms of career. For the next 2 years to like more writing based stuff, until they're in college.
Mm-hmm.
If I couldn't, I'd leverage both sets of grandparents who thankfully live nearby. So I still think we're fine. And also, they're just both pretty mature. I think they'd be emo shocked. They're both closer to her, I think, than to me.
Yeah.
My son in particular. Let me see. I think my son would have the hardest time.
Yeah.
So I'd like, you know, check in on him more. But admittedly, like, I don't know if I have all the tools to handle that right now.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that if something like that happens, God forbid, I'll develop them and I'll be ready for that moment.
And you got your Notion app.
Yeah.
Full,
you know,
full
I got
of all your
all,
thoughts.
All
and...
of my thoughts. If it happens to me, yeah, like Notion and my stand up will be like my like proof that I lived and
time
was funny.
Capsule.
Yeah. Like, hey,
yeah.
This is dad at his peak.
Yeah.
There's some cool pictures of me at home.
Yeah.
I think you can find that. Check out my MySpace page me and my Silius. See if you can find my Zanga page for me, like, when I was a stupid teenager.
I don't know Zanga.
Zanga was that, like, blogging.
Was that post-Friendster, pre-MySpace?
I would say it was, like, around MySpace.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, check out my Zanga. You can see when I was single and out here in these streets.
Nice.
You know, you can
I want that.
Yeah, it was Reckless Gas Store,
you
but,
know,
like,
we
you
could
see.
I have old... MySpace blog posts. If you can find your Zangas, maybe we do an episode where we read like 20-year-old blog posts.
Ooh, I'm gay.
That might be fun.
Let's do it.
So I thought I was going to die recently.
Whoa.
I had a near-death experience.
We've been talking an hour, my
dude. I don't know if you were here on Friday. What was the date? Anyway, the earthquake, the New York City earthquake.
Okay.
I was in my house on my phone with my brother, and I happened to be sitting on the commode.
Okay.
I was in the bathroom catching up with my brother, and I feel the whole building shaking violently. I don't know what it felt like for you, but when your ass is naked against solid porcelain, you feel every seismic reaction. And I said to him, I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on right now, but my whole building's shaking. I almost hung up on him. I was like, but actually stay on the phone because you might have to record my final thoughts, because I really thought the building was going to cave in on my head. The way it felt. So I shimmied my naked little ass to the windows to look out on the street. Thankfully, everybody looked normal out there. Nobody was really reacting out there. So I was like, all right, there must be another earthquake, because I experienced one in 2010. But I truly had a brief moment of like, I think my ceiling's going to fall on me, and yeah, I'm going to be trapped in here with my pants at my ankles. So I'm exaggerating. I didn't really think I was going to die, but it felt crazy.
You deserve all of that. Yeah. Okay.
If I die, I think it'll be a good thing. I think it'll be good for my child's development. She'll become an incredible artist.
Amen.
And the grieving process will enhance her as her character.
Ooh, I like this.
And I think it'll be a sacrifice everybody appreciates. I mean, Ross has got to be sick of me by now. I can't imagine she's really wants a whole lot more of me.
Mate.
So.
If yeah. Patrick Ross, we continue the podcast, you know?
Yeah, you two would actually be a great duo.
Yeah, let's do
we
it
should,
up.
We should just produce one of those episodes. one more thing about death. I've been saying to this people, not every day, I'm not saying giving this speech often, but I do truly feel like, because I get on planes a lot, you know, and I always have that thought of like, this could be it, you know, like the plane.
Planes are mad safe.
Not Boeing. Boeing's been in the news quite a lot lately. Doors are falling off. People are getting sucked out. Wheels aren't coming out. I don't know what's going on. But my point is that if it happens, I want the world to know, because I know 7 of you are listening to this. Just know that I'm okay. It's all good. If the worst thing happens, I feel so lucky for what I've gotten to experience so far in life. I'm good whenever it happens.
You know, whenever I hear Patrick talk like this, I'm reminded that he drives a Kia.
Yeah.
Of course you feel blessed that you've made it this far.
I'm living on the edge every day.
Every day is a blessing.
Well, we'll see how it goes this Saturday. Driving. Hey, Hurleyville, New York. You're going to hear this tomorrow. Come out to the show. They sold some tickets, but not a lot. I'll tell you about that in a moment.
Let's do this early.
Come out, Hurleyville. Not Suffolk County. Sullivan County, New York. Gastor and I are performing there this Saturday, April 20th. Come to the show, please. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah, real talk. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah. But thanks for listening, and we'll catch up next time.
Peace.